This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Sean Dooley, Joy Drive's chief bird nerd.
Good afternoon, Sean Dooley.
Good afternoon, Warren.
I'm glad we've got you because we lost our last guest halfway through the conversation.
I'm always here and I'll deny everything about getting rid of him. Whoever it was.
Now, Sean, the Aussie bird count we chatted about a few little weeks back, it finished, I believe, and we don't know the results, do we?
No, not, well, we do, but we haven't gone through them with a fine-tooth comb to weed out the dodgy sightings or the ones where people meant to press 2 and accidentally press 2,000.
Oh.
So, which sometimes does happen. You go through and think, wow, we got a lot of willy wagtails this year, and then it turns out that, no, somebody actually just left their thumb on the 2 and ended up with 222,000 rather than 2. So, BirdLife Australia staff are now busily going through all those results, although we actually had the count open until tomorrow night because some people don't do it on the app. They submit the count, go out and do a Aussie bird count and then come back and submit it later. So we're giving them a couple of days grace to enter it. So we've got the provisional results, but subject to actual proper vetting from the rightful authorities.
So what can you tell us about the provisional results?
Well, it was another fantastic event. We had over 100,000 surveys done. We don't yet know how many people were involved, but that's brilliant to think all around Australia. We had people go out over 102,000 times to do a 20-minute survey. And we counted 3.6 million birds around Australia, which is pretty mind-boggling when you think of it. And the only results I have are the provisional top 10. And from what I can see at the moment, it's the same top 3. I don't know for Victoria, but for Australia, it definitely was those three most common birds by a long stretch are the rainbow lorikeet, the noisy miner, and the magpie. And the rainbow lorikeet's almost twice as numerous as any other species. So,
is it increasing?
We don't know that yet. That sort of depends on the number of counters and things, but it's certainly, from what I can see, it's actually the noisy miner in previous years has been closing the gap on the rainbow lorikeet, but it's the rainbow lorikeet stretched out again ahead. So that's an interesting one. Interestingly, and it's probably the same this year, is if you look at it a different way, through a different lens, and look at how many times people are recording a species in their surveys, not the number of the species once they do see them, the magpie actually comes out on top. So more people will get, if you went out in your backyard or local park around Australia, you're more likely to see a magpie than a rainbow lorikeet. But when people see the lorikeets, they're usually in bigger flocks. So that's why we've so far clocked 420,000 rainbow lorikeets across the Aussie bird count this year, but whereas magpies are 150,000. So, but they're probably in more people's surveys than the lorikeets because there'd be big flocks of 100, 200 of the lorikeets.
Just on the magpie, I don't know what I was watching. I saw something recently and someone was researching them in WA and said that the magpie is under a lot of pressure and we assume that it's not and that it's flourishing. Is that true? Are magpies under a bit of a threat?
Not a threat as such, but we did some work at BirdLife Australia. Like the thing we do for the Aussie Bird Count is try and get people interested in citizen science. And once they are and get involved in regular bird monitoring, that information becomes invaluable. And we did a massive project that we published in 2015 called The State of Australia's Birds. And it looked at, I think it was over 400,000 repeat surveys across across about 13 or 14 years prior to that. And one of the things that we did pick up was that magpies in some areas, some regions of Australia, were starting to decline in the amount of times people were seeing them. So we would never pick that up normally because that they were still pretty common, but they went from being super abundant to just nearly abundant, I suppose. And the interesting thing is that we think, looking at the survey since, we think their numbers have bounced back a bit generally. But it's one to watch because certainly at the same time we had a big drop-off in kookaburra numbers. Now, they're still pretty common, but especially out in sort of bush areas and more farmland areas. But they were a bird that were exceptionally common and had hung on really well. And then we definitely saw a massive decline in the number of times people were reporting them in the first 15 years of this century. And we think that's still continued. We're picking up some similar trends in the Aussie bird count around our cities. Certainly, we'll see what happens this year. It might be we've had a couple of good years, so they're a bit more successful in raising chicks and the numbers might be bouncing back. But certainly kookaburras, which nobody really would have noticed, were disappearing because they were still common enough, but they had certainly peaked in numbers and were, in eastern Australia, there was a decline of about 30%.
Wow, so that's significant.
But when it's such a common bird, there might be, say, well, just for argument's sake, like a million kookaburras out there, and if that has a 30% decline, there's still 700,000. So you might not notice that they're becoming rarer, but it's certainly, some of our most rare birds were once fairly common, like the regent honeyeater, which is down to fewer than maybe 300, 250 birds across Australia. That used to, even a century ago, used to turn up in people's gardens in flocks of hundreds. They're considered pests in places like Bendigo and Maryborough, and because they just turn up sort of one summer and they'd eat everybody's fruit out of the fruit tree. But a current abundance doesn't necessarily guarantee future success. So those birds began to get rarer and rarer, and people didn't really notice them at first because they were never there permanently. They'd just move around. And then sort of after a while, it wasn't until the 1970s that people started thinking, I haven't seen regent honeyeaters lately. And it wasn't until BirdLife Australia began doing the monitoring in the late 70s that we started picking up that, you're not seeing them in your town, but neither are people, 500 kilometres away either. So they're actually dropping out of the landscape, and that it becomes like an avalanche, the decline off the cliff for a threatened species. And so the regent honeyeater really has crashed. So we've got to be really, that's why monitoring is really important, so we can see things that are happening as they begin to happen and start to address it, rather than sort of wait for them to be so few of one species left that we know them all by name when we get to
that. And we don't want that to happen to the magpie either. I mean, it was voted the best sound, wasn't it? So, this slow decline, let's not take it for granted. We are chatting with Sean Dooley, National Public Affairs Manager at BirdLife Australia. Now, Sean, just getting on to something else that's a bit concerning. As you walk around the suburbs of Melbourne at the moment, people are draping this fake cobweb stuff all over the place. In fact, I went to one of the cheap department stores last night. I was shocked at the amount of plastic Halloween decorations and things that are on sale at the moment. But there's something else going on with this cobweb stuff, isn't there? What is it?
Yeah, we've actually had a few reports last year, and it's cropped up again this year in the media that birds are getting tangled up in this fake Halloween spiderweb stuff. And it's something that first was noted in America, where Halloween obviously is huge. Mm. And things like tiny little hummingbirds were getting caught in it. But we didn't think it was a problem here, but I guess we're using more and more of it. And it wasn't until last year that BirdLife Australia got contacted by a number of people who said they had just rescued birds entangled in this stuff. And we've looked into it, and it's not a big threat yet, but it's definitely a threat that we can avoid. And the problem with this stuff, it's synthetic and it doesn't really break down. And so if people don't take it in immediately after Halloween, it's not just a threat during the Halloween period, but it can last for months, especially if it blows off into trees and things like that. And so birds foraging can get tangled up. And even more concerning is there's the potential that at this time of year you've got birds nesting, and birds like magpies, but even small birds, will pick up stuff to put in the lining of the nest to keep the chicks and the eggs warm and soft and cozy. And so if birds are using this as nesting material, there's every chance that the chicks as they grow are going to get entangled in the strands of it. And, you know, that can just prove horrific and disastrous, because the chicks will get, you know, it can stop them being able to be fed, they can get strangled, or they can, and I've seen this happen with some other synthetic material where a little baby bird had kind of got its leg snared, and then it fell out of the nest and basically died there dangling from the nest, and there was no one around to help it. It was just really sad and terrible. So, as I said, this isn't a major threat to birds yet at all, but it's something that we can avoid right from the start. So our advice is, preferably if you want to use this stuff, you can still use it inside your house, decorate all your windows with the fake spider web and all that sort of stuff that's facing onto the street. Or even if you really have to use it, like, make sure you're not sticking it up in trees. Like, that's where the birds are far more likely to get up into it. But if you've got it secured and it's not going to blow away, then that's a lesser problem. But, if you can avoid using it at all, then you're avoiding any potential damage to birds.
I reckon we don't need it. We don't need fake artificial spider webs hung all over our trees and risking our bird life. Sean, I can hear your dog calling you, Sean, so that must mean it's time to wrap up.
Sorry about that. Yeah, the alarm clock there. It's like a smoke alarm out. Our yapping dog when it wants attention.
It's like, Dad, time's up. Sean, great to chat with you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that information with us. We'll talk to you next month.
Yes, indeed. Look forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you, Sean Dooley, the National Public Affairs Manager at BirdLife Australia. There you go. Let's not stick up that cobweb stuff just to celebrate Halloween. What happened to the old pumpkin and carving out the pumpkin and putting a candle or something in it?
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.